Paul, I had such a ridiculous day with work that I could not take bad news. So this is a good thing.
Yeah, we can have nice things, can't we?
Apparently we can. This one time.
That's just because I think all Suns fans were so adamant that we weren't going to get it, that we willed it into existence in the biggest reverse jinx of all time.
I like that. We should do that more often as Suns fans. Maybe we can work that into a championship sometime soon. What is going on, Suns fans? Justin here, and with me as always is my podcasting partner, Paul.
That guy in a little coat.
And welcome to this episode of Fanning the Flames, your one and only Phoenix Suns podcast that is made for the fans. That is you guys, by the fans, that is us. As always, intro and outro music provided by Oceans Over Airplanes. Check them out at oceansoverairplanes.com. And this week, a little special intro being a instant conversation between Paul and I when the Suns got the number one pick in the 2018 NBA draft. That was my announcer voice. Was that good?
I don't know. I talked over it.
Oh, well, I'm going to assume it was good. I bet it was good. It's probably awesome. Thanks, Paul. Ruined it.
I think it'll be good because we talked at the same time. And now we just wasted it.
Perfect. So anyway, in case you have indeed been living under a rock and not on Twitter or
possibly
the internet,
on Easter Island.
Sure. What?
Somewhere far away with no TVs.
The Suns did, in fact, land the number one pick in the NBA draft this year. They won the draft lottery. They had a 25% chance to do so. This is a fourth year in a row where the team with the highest odds actually won. I think it was much to the shock of pretty much all of Suns Nation. What would you say, Paul?
Yeah, we were definitely preparing for the worst. I mean, there's definitely a lot of, oh, yeah, looking forward to drafting Jaren Jackson at number four, things like that. So, and like legitimately having discussions of, okay, which is going to be more crushing if we see it show up at four or if we get into the top three and then get three.
See, I didn't get that debate. In fact, I didn't see that debate outside of you bringing it up to me. I mean, four, I think, is immediately worse. I mean, right?
No, well, because you don't get any hope there. It happened. Okay, yeah, we're done. But you get into the top three, it's like we're in the sweepstakes. We're in the showcase showdown. We can win the car. And we got 20 cents on the wheel.
This son of a bitch got a dollar, and I did not. I got you. Okay, yeah. I see what you're saying. But you know what? We don't even need to go into the conversation. You know why? Because we got the number one pick.
It was definitely fun to watch. And, definitely took me a good, 10 seconds to, process that it actually happened.
Sure.
Because I'm just, I'm sitting there. I'm watching it go. I'm like, okay. The Hawks got the third pick. The Kings got the second. Processing.
Who's gonna get one? I'm not quite sure, dude. I was the opposite. When I saw the Kings card come up, I let out this really odd sounding yell, and my daughter from the other room actually yelled to me to make sure I was okay because she had never heard me make such a sound before. And I told her, "Yes, sweetie, it is all good. This is all good stuff." But I mean, this ends a long, long line of
50 years
pain and misery. Yeah. Well, 50 years of not having the number one draft pick, Neil Walk, God bless his soul, but he's no Lou Alcindor. I don't know whatever happened to Lou Alcindor, right?
He disappeared. Yeah. Yeah. You don't hear about Lou all that much.
But all right, bad jokes. We can do them here too, Dave King. but no, I mean, we talk about that history. You look at last year, Suns had the second best, odds to get the number one pick, ended up with the fourth pick, which was totally fine because Josh Jackson, I was touting
probably
him as
the
number
second
one pick. I was touting him as the number one pick going back to, November of 16 or whenever the heck that was. And then prior to that, the year before, 2016, stayed at four. Go back a few years before that, 2013, they had the fourth best odds and ended up slipping down to five and got this gem of a guy named Alex Len. Although in that draft, you know, it's kind of like, well, that kind of is what it is.
Yeah, you look at that, the best player in the top 10 was CJ McCollum.
Right. Well, and then
who's taken 10th?
And you and going back even further.
Yeah.
The Suns have actually had some luck in the draft lottery. Back in 1987, they actually moved up five spots to get the number 2 pick and ended up selecting Armin Gilliam right behind David Robinson and in front of Scottie Pippen, Reggie Kevin Miller, Johnson. I think, Kevin Johnson,
Mark Jackson.
There was one other name that was on Reggie Lewis, I believe. God rest.
No, Horace Grant.
Horace Grant also. But at any rate, so point being, the draft lottery has not exactly been
the Suns' friend,
kind to the Suns, even when the Suns were doing well. So hopefully this year that changes everything around. The Suns don't blow this by, I don't know, taking Jaren Jackson. I like Jaren Jackson, but obviously not number one. So, right. You know, I think what we have now to look forward to, quote unquote. Oh, before I go into that, I thought another interesting little twist on this was the fact that, so the Suns have had all this long extended history of bad luck in the draft lottery. And when they actually did the ping pong ball draw that's behind closed doors and is now on NBA.com, if anybody's interested in watching it, because the NBA is very concerned about people still thinking it's rigged. I no longer think it's rigged. I don't know why. And suddenly my mind hasn't changed. But
well, Adam Silver doesn't hate Sarver as
exactly,
much as Stern did.
Exactly. So the Suns combination came up not once, not twice, but thrice. Three times the Suns combination for the number one pick came up before the Kings came up and ended up with the number two pick. If that made sense, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny. You have all this bad luck for all this extended period of time. And then in this draft, it's like, okay, here, we'll let you have it three times in a row. Even though this does nothing for you. So
you get the first, second and third pick.
That's what I would, I think that would be fair.
That's how especially a lot of it
the way,
works, right?
Especially the way the Suns have been screwed by David Stern so many times.
Yeah.
I think Adam Silver could do us a solid by doing that.
Yeah,
we could probably not going to have it.
Just throw out this whole, like, Doncic, Ayton debate. We'll just take them both. And, you know, just to throw in for good measure, we'll take a flyer on, I don't know, who do you want? Who do you want the third pick?
I'll even take, like a lower top 10 pick, and then we can get Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yeah,
but
sure.
At any rate, you kind of alluded to it already, but now Suns Nation, Suns Twitterverse, dudes that talk about the Suns walking on the street, I don't know, whatever, can spend the next month and a half or so
arguing with each other.
Arguing about DeAndre Ayton or Luka Doncic.
Yeah, I don't think Suns Twitter
is losing
has
its
never
mind.
Experienced this before, and it does not know how to handle it. I mean, in previous years, when you're dealing with like a later pick, you know, there's all kinds of variables. Like, you don't even know who's going to be available. So it's like, okay, who's potentially available? And like, it's okay to like have your favorites and whatnot. But in this situation, is we get the pick of the litter and we can't afford to screw it up. And everybody's got their opinion and everybody is. You know, they're dividing into camps and, you know, it's turning into the battle scene in Anchorman.
That should be how they actually determine who they pick.
It should, yes.
Just have a battle royale involving maybe a 4-on-4.
Yeah.
And the last team with somebody alive, that's the dude they pick.
And you have a bunch of scrubs show up. We're repping Jaren Jackson.
Come on, stop, bitches. Oh boy. Look at this. Tommy Boy reference already tonight and an Anchorman reference. I'd say it's a good start.
Bring
to the
evening,
Paul. Bring the funny. So I don't know, Paul. Do you want to get into this? Ayton Doncic? Maybe we should just go rogue and say we want Jaren Jackson at number one just to drive everybody truly insane.
I want Trae Young.
Trae Young at number one.
Well, she's going to be the best guy.
Right. And then Paul's going to be like, I told you guys. Remember I said it on the podcast.
We're half jokingly said I wanted Trae Young.
So Paul, now that the Suns actually have the number one pick.
Yes.
You were Camp Doncic, and then you conceded at least on one, maybe a couple of occasions that I had brought you to the dark side, if you will, and got you onto Team Ayton.
Yes. Where do I stand now?
Where are you now that the Suns actually hold that number one pick and fate is truly in their hands?
I am thoroughly camped in Team Switzerland.
You would.
I am. It's... I don't want, because this is literally turning into a presidential election where you're just, here's the shitty stuff that's about this other guy. We're not talking
about what's... Everyone's blinded by their own beliefs.
Everyone's blinded by who they like, and they're just shitting on the other guy, and I don't want to get into a situation where I pick one guy, and that's the guy I'm going to ride for, and then the Suns actually pick the other guy, and then I'm like, I have this bias, which will probably go away immediately because, you know, it's sports and we love the Suns. And assuming he does good, whichever one of them it is, all of that will be water under the bridge.
Right. And this is on a completely unrelated topic, but I did hear somewhere that Doncic likes to kick puppies. So I don't know. I mean, take that for what it's worth if you're – Depending on if you're trying to pick a camp here. I'm just saying.
He likes to steal old people's canes and walkers while they're using them.
Okay. I thought kicking puppies was more than sufficient, but you just had to go and bring it to walkers and canes. So you're really going to sit here right now and just tell me you're not going to, like, have an opinion, Paul. Or at least explain to me why you don't want to have an opinion.
Because what both of those guys provide are things that the Suns need, though they're both very different things. So I feel that either one of them could slide very seamlessly into the Suns rotation and provide, hopefully, that – I mean, assuming that they're good, assuming that they live up to even 80% of the hype – they'd be a quality starter, if not star. Hopefully, I mean, we obviously love to have a generational talent, but you know, those are rare. And
hence the name.
Yes, hence the name. Hence. And so I'm focusing on the positive, because you know, we are the podcast of positivity here, Justin.
Podcast of optimism, Paul. Get it right.
Okay, podcast of optimism, positivity, optimism, whatever. You know, you're talking about to the pessimists of the group here. And I want to stay positive. I want to enjoy who we get, and I don't want to be, like, angry when that pick comes.
Well, yeah, so, okay. Oh, go ahead, finish. Sorry.
So I mean, if you put a gun to my head and asked me to pick, I would probably pick Ayton. But, and literally as I'm saying that, like, I was like, am I going to say Doncic or Ayton?
A comes kind of, first. I'll just go with that.
I literally switched at the last second. Just because I like the balance that he would bring to the Suns offense. And there are some red flags with Doncic's offense that I'm a little bit concerned about. We were talking about it before we started, like with regards to his shooting and whatnot. But I like what Ayton brings. So from that perspective, and that's a lot of what turned me earlier in the season when we were talking about it, was just from the standpoint of we have Booker in the backcourt. That idea of that Kobe and Shaq 2.0, even though the players are slightly different, you know, they have different skill sets and whatnot, but that 1-2 combination of a guy in the front court and a guy in the backcourt who are huge stars, then you can just build pieces around that fill in all the defensive and, you know, shooting needs and things like that around those guys works really well in my brain, more so than having all of our firepower and all of our star power like surrounding the perimeter. And then what do we have up front? Because just like quality starters at best.
Right. And I'll speak really quickly to your point, the concept of picking a side, for lack of a better way of putting it,
right,
and then being angry or upset when the pick goes a different direction.
Right.
You know, I'm Team Ayton. I've been Team Ayton. I don't anticipate changing my mind from Team Ayton. But I can say that if the Suns were to pick Doncic, which I don't think they will, I wouldn't necessarily be upset or angry, because I think both players are going to be, let me say this, I think Doncic is going to be an excellent player. I think Ayton's going to be more excellent. He's going to be a better player in the long run. So, you know, they'd be getting a piece, even if they went with Doncic, they'd be getting a piece that is a solid addition, is going to improve the team, and, you know, is all around just, you know, a positive addition to the Phoenix Suns franchise. But again, I'd still think that Ayton is going to be long-term the better NBA player. I really think that Ayton is going to be one of those generational talents.
Right. And I mean, I was reading through Suns Twitter today and whatnot, and something I wanted to bring up was from the standpoint of people were making the argument against Ayton because of how the NBA is shifting and going more perimeter oriented and whatnot. And I disagree with that argument. I think a lot of that shift had to do with, we had a long period of time where we really didn't have good big men coming into the league. Mm-hmm. And that's shifting with this generation that's coming right now with like Embiid, Towns,
Anthony Davis,
you know, Ayton, and all of these guys, you know, have these big man skills that are awesome, and they also can bring it out to the perimeter as well. So it's kind of a moot point to be like, that's a knock on Ayton because the game's more perimeter oriented. Right. I mean, the guy shoots 34% from three and will probably shoot better than that once he is playing basketball full time.
Yeah. And that's one thing that I've said about Ayton, you know, on multiple episodes of this podcast, is that what you've seen of him at U of A, I believe it's only the tip of the iceberg, because he has the ability to step out and shoot the ball, but frankly, in Pac-12 play, and well, we don't need to talk about the NCAA tournament, but in Pac-12 play and in the non-conference schedule, there was no reason for him to do that, because right, he's just so dominant down low with guys at the college level. Now, obviously, at the NBA level, he's going to be playing against dudes that are bigger and stronger than the guys he played against in college, but for that reason, I think we're going to see more of that ability to step out, shoot the ball from outside, put the ball on the floor even. And just to step back, you know, you had mentioned red flags with Doncic and one of them being a shooting. Just for to back that up, or to at least provide some insight as to where you're coming from, this season, Doncic overall, so this includes EuroLeague play and the club team, club competition, league,
yeah, Real Madrid,
ACB, yeah. Well, I think it's both Real Madrid, right?
Yeah,
it's just different leagues that they play in.
I don't know how to do stuff in
soccer. It's like soccer out there. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
But he's averaging 14.5 points a game overall. 4.7 assists, 5.2 rebounds. Shooting overall 46%, but he's only shooting 31% from 3-point range. And I've done a little bit more digging as the Ayton Doncic debate heated up even over the past few weeks. I kind of started looking at Doncic month by month this season, and this perhaps is the more alarming thing to me. And I don't know, maybe it shouldn't be, but it is. His performance has pretty much gone down month by month this season. And obviously last week or whatever it was, he had the first triple double in ACB play, or maybe it was EuroLeague play since, I don't know, like 1997 or something ridiculous right. like that. But that aside, you know, his 3-point percentage month by month, October was 36.2, November was 31.3, December was 32.8, January is 34.5. February 17.4, March was 25%, April was 28.6%. And that similar type of progression or regression occurred with his field goal shooting as well. And over the past few months, his scoring has gone down, at least when you're looking at where he was the first month of the season, the first couple months of the season. And I don't know really what that indicates. Does it indicate he came out hot, got a lot of attention, got a little hype when he was hot? Right. And then has cooled down. I think he was injured at some point too, so maybe that played into it. But, you know, obviously the kid's 19, so consistency is not going to necessarily be there automatically. I mean, look at Josh Jackson this year.
Right.
But that being said, that type of consistent decline in performance, at least when you're looking at just the numbers, I think is troubling to me, and perhaps the most troubling thing that I've seen in regard to his game. I mean, you know, people talk about the lack of elite athleticism. You know, so be it. There are guys in the NBA that have succeeded without elite athleticism that are wing players like. I'm sorry?
Steve Nash. I was always the big knock on him.
I was like, what'd you say? Yeah, Nash, Manu Ginobili, aside from the fact that they're both foreign players, Paul.
I know.
Are there all three of them are foreign players?
Yeah. Hey,
look at that. But, you know, that type of stat regression, and maybe I'm reading too much into it. I don't know. If I am, I'm sure somebody will set me straight at some point. But that's one of my biggest things with Doncic. And
feel free to do so in the comments.
Oh, that reminds me. Remember that, like, a month ago when we actually did that thing where we read a comment from, like, the iTunes
right.
ratings, and then we said – or no, we brought it up, and then we said we were going to read it. We never did. So why don't you talk about something, and I'm totally going to pull up iTunes right now, and I'm going to read, because we got a couple that – one of which I thought was just kind of hilarious because it was more of an observation than a comment.
That was great.
But
so time to fill time.
Yeah, Paul, the floor is yours. I'm gonna do this really slowly too.
I mean, honestly, the thing where it's all recency bias for us with regards to these picks, to be honest. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that those of us here in America, between NCAA basketball and the NBA, unless you're a huge hoops junkie who, or somebody who kind of does this for a living, doesn't really watch a lot of Euro ball. It's, you know, not on at the best times. You got to go onto some weird, sketchy sites to get feeds.
What?
Justin TV.
What?
And just, so we haven't seen a lot outside of YouTube clips and highlight reels that are designed to show the best of a player. We haven't really seen a lot of Doncic. So much of our opinion on him is truly anecdotal, and it's not concrete at all, unfortunately. And he could be so much better or so much worse than what we think he is. And there is a legit concern about the idea that for some reason NBA scouting really falters in being able to translate success in EuroLeague to success in America. And you see that. I mean, I'm not going to harp on that. I don't want to harp on this because it's kind of a stupid thing to say, but like, look how good Mike James is playing in Europe. He's sure. like bawling out there. And he was at best a third string guard in the NBA who got cut.
Right.
Couldn't even hold on for one season. Did you find the reviews?
Yeah, I did. I was just Thank waiting. You. I was okay, so I'm going to read two of them because there are only two on there. But
we'll be more than happy to have more.
Yes.
5 stars.
By all means, rate and review. Stealing this from the solar panel guys, but rate and review. And when we remember to do it, we'll read some of the comments on the podcast. So first one from Alexander917. Love this podcast. Die hard Suns fan living in Connecticut, surrounded by New York media. My condolences, Alexander. Keep fighting the good fight, guys. Hey, I was born in Connecticut. Connecticut? Good for you, Paul. keep fighting the good fight, guys. And I'll say it like Espo. 5-star review. Did I say it like Espo? Was that good?
That actually was pretty solid. Actually sounded a lot like him.
Okay, nice. okay, I'll read the second one too. It's titled A Phoenix Suns Podcast from Bloomfill or Blomfill, maybe? Blomfill 2. If you love the Phoenix Suns, this is a podcast that talks about them. It is. And other stuff too. That's usually off topic, but I just loved that when I read him. Like, that's just, like, he's literally saying what we do. That's outstanding. But you know, the important part, Paul?
5 stars.
5-star review. So thank you very much, guys or gals, for listening, rating, reviewing. And like I said, if we remember to do it, we'll keep reading these, on the episodes in the future. So, okay. That tangent's done. I totally lost any train of thought that we had going.
Yeah, we're done.
And that would wrap up this episode. Tonight. I guess I haven't necessarily stated it yet, this podcast, but you don't have to put the gun to my head to say that I want DeAndre Ayton.
Right. And I think he'll look great in a Suns uniform.
He will. Now, here's the question. How about we're ready for this? You know what number DeAndre Ayton was wearing in college, right?
12?
Close.
13?
Yes.
Who else wore 13? There's a certain
Ring of Honor member that wore 13?
Well, I mean, that's the reason there is a Ring of Honor, is that they don't ever officially retire a number.
I think they still do, even though they don't put the number up there. I feel like this came up in some other conversation, and I looked it up, and they still have those numbers of the Ring of Honor guys listed as retired numbers. I could also be making this up.
Retired Wikipedia.
It's probably Wikipedia. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I do know there. I do remember for a fact that when Nash left the Suns, very, 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 way too soon after it, Marcin Gortat went into asking if he could switch his number to 13 because apparently that was his preferred number.
Uh huh.
And they're like, what the hell are you doing, dude? No.
Well, I think if DeAndre Ayton went to Suns or called up Steve Nash and said, hey, Steve, would you mind if I wore 13? I feel like they would probably be, he'd probably be just fine with that. But again, that I guess assumes that it's a retired number. And I don't have any corroborating evidence to support that outside of my recollection of looking it up one time. That could have been many, many months, if not years ago.
Well, 12 is still available.
Okay. Well, maybe. Or 31, Sean Marion. Oh, is Sean Marion in the Ring of Honor?
No. No, because he was in the league longer than Nash was. Nash was out before he was. So... He deserves it. I mean, both him and Stoudemire should get in.
Yeah. No, I agree. At some point, both those guys should definitely be in. And then someday DeAndre Ayton will be in there too. Right next to Devin Booker. Right next to the championship banners that the Suns are going to have.
Oh, yeah. Not one. Not two.
Oh, God, don't do that. let's not jinx it before it starts, dude. The other thing that obviously there's a connection with the Suns, and this is going to be kind of interesting to see how this comes into play, if it does at all, is obviously the Kokoschkov connection with Doncic.
Right.
And how much, if any, input Kokoschkov's going to have into where the Suns go with this draft pick.
Right. And to that point, I honestly feel like the Doncic hive blew up on Twitter following the Kokoschkov hire. It's like they were just kind of sitting there, like waiting, and they're just like assuming that because Igor was hired.
Right.
I didn't try not to say it again because it's still really hard.
It's really not that hard. Kokoshkov.
Yeah, but it doesn't flow yet.
Okay. I feel like two individuals
just had to relearn how to say it for the third time.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Ryan McDonough. I feel like two individuals with our last names should never complain about pronouncing somebody else's last name, Paul.
Touche. Anyway, that it just seems like, I mean, yeah, there were guys who were definitely pro Doncic that were out there, but then it was like they went all in on it, and it seems like I see more pro like Doncic talk out there than I'm seeing Ayton talk. So
I don't know if I agree with that, but I will agree with the fact that it blew up when Kokoshkov was hired.
Yeah, it's like I feel like there's a connection there.
Yeah, and I feel like suddenly people that maybe were on the fence suddenly decided they would voice their positions as Doncic supporters because they're like, well, now we know that he's going to come here because they hired his old coach. I almost said they fired his old coach. Look at that. I'm already like jumping to
2 years from now.
The coaching carousel. Good Lord. See what you've done to me, Phoenix Suns? Do you see? But you know, I'll say one other thing when it comes to this whole Ayton Doncic argument. And we're going to hear so much about this for the next month and a half. Now that I think about it, it's giving me a headache.
Right.
I might just wake me up for the draft. Okay. I might just sign out of social media, ignore all sports pages, etc.
You can't do that because you don't have any other interests.
Not a possible chance I can do that. I have other interests, Paul.
You start playing video games again?
I still play video games. Thank you very much. 36-year-old man has no shame about his Xbox. That's right. And I know there's plenty of you along with me out there. Be proud, fellas. But at any rate, like I said earlier, okay, both are going to be good NBA players. I think, though, and I made this comparison before we started chatting or recording, I look at it as the level of NBA, and I'm going to hesitate a bunch of times when I go through this because I'm using a lot of very strong words and strong comparisons, and I'm not by any means saying that either of these players are going to necessarily get there, but that's where I see the best case scenario going. So comparative levels of NBA greatness, if you will. I look at Doncic and I think, frankly, with the shortcomings with his athletic ability, with the style of play that he has, and you can tell me that I'm wrong on this comparison, Paul, if you want to, but I see him being, you know, a Manu Ginobili level player, hopefully with, you know, less flopping and less just looking like Cousin Balky. I don't know. But I look at Ayton and I'll use Ayton's own analogy. And that is, I see him being a transcendent player, to the level and the impact of Shaq. And I'm not saying he's going to have the same type of game as Shaq, because obviously Ayton isn't 7 foot and like 320 or whatever the hell Shaq was. But I think the impact that he's going to be able to bring to the floor is going to be on par, in the best case scenario, with Shaq. So that's why I also, you know, lean Ayton, because I just see his ceiling being higher than Doncic's ceiling. Because again, I think we've still barely scraped the surface of what Ayton is able to do on a basketball court. I mean, the dude is 6'10", 260 pounds with a 43.5-inch vertical and athleticism and a polished post game already at 19. And I know a lot of times people talk about, you know, the knock on him being the defense. I've said it before. I'll say it now. I'll probably say it again. But I can't see somebody with those types of tools not turning into a good NBA defender, a guy that's going to pull the Suns out of the, well, I guess they can't get worse because they had the worst defense in the league last year and maybe, you know, the 4 years before, I don't know. But pulling them out of even mediocrity when it comes to defense and putting them into a, you know, a respectable level.
Right. Yeah, I get that. I completely see that. And that's, I think, like I said before, if I had to put a gun to my head and I'd pick somebody, I'd go with Ayton. I think particularly bringing him in, I think hopefully Tyson, with a player like Ayton, Tyson Chandler can actually be more of a mentor than what he has been able to provide for Chris or Bender. I think that might just be a issue of personality, possibly. Not that they disconnect, but just don't connect in the way to truly help Tyson help those guys bring out the best in them. Granted, I don't know what goes behind closed doors or
all,
you know,
supposition. Yep. And I think also it's just, you know, a matter of it's the skill set, the build, the abilities that Bender and Chris have shown are, you know, they haven't shown flashes that they could be the type of defender that, you know, Tyson Chandler was in his heyday. Whereas I think that Ayton absolutely can do that. So I think Chandler would be the perfect guy. I mean, if they draft Ayton, then conversations we've had in the past about waiving and extending Chandler or waiving and stretching Chandler or trading him, I say forget those, because let's keep him around for what, his last year on his contract, and let him provide as much tutelage as he can to DeAndre Ayton. And can I tell you how excited I am about DeAndre Ayton becoming a Phoenix Sun? If that happens, by the way, that's 2 years in a row I called the Suns draft pick.
Yes.
And the 2 years in a row where I called the Suns draft pick in at like the beginning of the season. Not to pat myself on the back, but I'm going to actually like physically pat myself on the back right now. See, I just did it.
I see that.
So what else, Paul?
I don't know, man. There's not much left.
This is why during the summer, we like to go on our little vacations. There's not a lot to talk about. I think maybe the next time we'll check in around the draft, I'm sure, maybe leading up to the draft. Summer League, if Paul's wife lets him go this year, you know, we'll see. And I guess we can always check in, too, and see where Paul stands on the Ayton Doncic
debate. See if I've changed my opinion.
Because I have a feeling, I look at it like this. Remember the Chris Bender debate? Back when the Suns, you know, had the number four
pick.
And
somehow we got both.
Ended up getting both. I went back, I swear to God, back and forth on that, like, daily, up to the point of the actual draft, and then I'm like, okay, I want them to take Bender. Okay, they took Bender, and then they trade for Chris. I'm like, well, good thing I went through all of that. You know, if the Suns managed to swing a trade and just take both of these guys, that'd be fantastic.
I doubt that's going to happen just because Sacramento needs it too. Okay, actually, here's something to discuss. So, because I'm a pessimist, and because hashtag we can't have nice things, my biggest concern about this whole situation is we're going to pick wrong, right? I think that's everybody's biggest concern, that we're going to pick a guy and that's the guy who ends up being the bust. Mm-hmm. But the other guy's going to Sacramento. And
so sucks for him anyway. Is that what you're saying?
I've been to Sacramento. I have been to Sacramento. Yeah. I mean, that I feel sorry for.
No offense to anybody listening in Sacramento.
There's a nice little bed and breakfast halfway between Sacramento and Modesto. If you're looking to get away.
That old mining town with a lot of very oddly named shopping centers. And I'm going to
leave it at that.
People can go ahead and research it themselves if they're so inclined. But it's, yeah.
There's a mining term that has been co-opted by an industry that has
adult entertainment, we'll call terms. It. Yes. So,
anyway, just the thinking about either of those players being on that team, Kellen Olson brought it up over on Empire of the Suns. I was listening to earlier today, and he brought up the idea of if Doncic goes to Sacramento, and then he's playing in a backcourt with Bogdan Bogdanovic, and then they become really good, and then just the sadness that Suns fans would have that we could have had that.
Why even got to say that, man? It's not cool.
because hashtag we can't have nice things. And then, but then the other side of it, I think about the idea of like Ayton up there with a backcourt of Fox and Bogdan, because I think both the, I think that would be a similarly pretty cool back, like backcourt tandem with Ayton. So like both teams are in a really good position right now to, assuming both of these guys meet the majority, I mean, obviously not their ceiling, but they reach, they're not busts and they actually reach some type of star potential. I think both teams are actually looking to be in some pretty good shape moving forward. And I might actually enjoy watching a Sacramento Kings game again.
Right. Yeah. And I don't think that's happened since, you know,
the Weber Bibby days.
Yeah. Yeah. The Laker Kings battles back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, both teams are definitely in good position. I mean, you know, at this point with the Suns, what we've all gone through collectively as Suns fans for the past 4 years.
8 years?
Well, let's start it off at
the true rebuild.
The restart of the rebuild after that near playoff run.
Right.
Getting this number one draft pick has pretty much,
that's been the goal.
Topped, yeah. This is the icing on top of misery. I have no idea. It's been the goal, and now we've basically gone through that rebuild. McDonough has the players that he wants on this team, and now he has the number one pick. And you know, I think McDonough's reaction when they got the number one pick was quite telling.
We snatched victory from the jaws of defeat.
And he was, and, you know, he did a little like sign of the cross, thank God.
Prayed.
He was teary eyed, and you know, maybe there's speculation as to whether he was just tired or if he was crying out of joy. I mean, it could be either way.
I think he got a little emotional.
He should, because now he truly has his chance to put his stamp on this team, and this pick is his job.
Yeah, this is his job.
At this point.
Yeah, if he blows,
and I guess theoretically also what else maybe happens during the offseason, but primarily this pick, because again with Ayton, I see the Suns. We're not gonna jump right into, you know, championship contenders. Probably not gonna jump right into a playoff team, but I see the Suns getting, you know, 10 more wins next year if they end up adding Ayton. Again, depending on what else they do during that offseason, but this is it for McDonough. This is his time to shine, or his time to burst into flames. And you know, we've said this in the past. I think we said this before we really even got into this podcast, not this episode, but the podcast in general a couple seasons ago. In McD we trust, you know. I've perhaps that's part of my everlasting optimism coming out, but we have a guy who has a plan. He hit on Booker. He's made some mistakes, but he's made some solid moves. He's managed to turn bad situations with players into good returns in regard to trades.
And he caused some of those situations.
Right, sure. But he managed to, right. He managed to, you know, come out of it with first round draft picks, you know.
Right.
And there's something to be said about that. But, you know, from my perspective, when you have a team like the Suns who are going through an obvious rebuild and have been for the past 4+ years, as a fan, you can't really do anything but just put your faith in that guy that's making the decisions for the team.
Right.
And, you know, McDonough came from a good foundation in terms of learning and growing and figuring out how to be a GM through his time with the Celtics. And at the end of the day, he has his wish, and hopefully all those years of saying in McD we trust comes, you know, to doesn't come back and kick us in the ass and end up with us having to, you know, be like the Magic right now, just a never ending cycle of rebuilding.
Yeah, I don't want to be the Magic. I really don't.
Me neither. Imagine how good that team would have been if Shaq didn't leave to go to LA.
Yeah.
They were on the precipice at that point with him, Penny.
Right.
I love, by the way, though, the Magic sent Lil Penny to the NBA draft lottery. I thought that was outstanding. Yeah.
What a sheer
genius move. I mean, obviously it didn't really work out, but hey, it was a great idea. So at any rate,
actually the Magic had a couple good, like if Grant Hill hadn't gotten hurt,
mm-hmm.
and weren't they like really close to getting Tim Duncan? Like imagine that team of McGrady, Hill, and Duncan.
That would be a good team. And I don't know. I don't recall them being close to getting Tim Duncan, but I have no reason to think you're wrong, Paul. But we don't need to talk about what could have been and should have been with the Magic and their misery. But it actually makes me feel a little better as a Suns fan. You know, at least we haven't gone through all of that. But at any rate, what do you say? I think we're good this evening here.
I think we can call it.
Yeah, you know, again, off season, we'll be in and out throughout the summer, I think. Paul, though, might be appearing on Solar Panel repeatedly and, you know, doing all that fun stuff.
We'll see how it goes.
We'll be around. Summer's kind of a, you know, it's like another lottery for Suns fans that listen to this podcast, because maybe 1 week we'll be there, maybe we won't. Who knows? We'll see. But we'll be around, and we'll keep giving you our surely enjoyable ramblings and off the wall thoughts about the Phoenix Suns and about other random crap that, you know, doesn't really matter, but hopefully entertains people at least.
Yeah. I mean, I think everybody expects it to be a busy summer for the Suns,
mm-hmm.
because it sounds like they're ready to, the teardown is complete. It's now time to rebuild, like truly build up and take what we have and turn it into something that's cohesive and better. And you know, so I would be surprised if we have a lot of movement similar to that first year that McDonough took over the team.
Sure. Well, one thing that I've seen pop up too, and this will be the last thing, is the idea of the Suns trading the number one pick. Can I just say that if somebody thinks that the Suns should trade the number one pick, like, hit me up, because I'll come by and slap you. Because no, just God, no. Like, don't, no. And I can't see any situation in the world where Ryan McDonough is going to go, yeah, okay, all this that I've worked up to, I have this number one pick, now I'm going to trade it. Unless you're going to trade it for, like, Anthony Davis or something like that, which is not going to happen. So I feel like that, if I could just, like, erase that from my Twitter timeline, any references to the Suns trading the pick,
well, I mean, after last year, with what Boston and Philly did, I can, you know, depending on the situation, I can see the argument, but being that top tier is two guys.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, what's the point in trading with Sacramento?
None.
You know,
nil.
Like, unless you think you can convince them that you're going to draft the guy you don't want, and you can squeeze an asset out of them so they draft him, and then you get the guy you do want. But I mean, really?
That sounds very, very confusing and nitpicky, and I can't imagine that ever happening. So let's just stop talking. We don't even need to talk about it anymore. I feel like we've already given the idea of trading it too much time by discussing it for a minute. Because No. At any rate, as always, we really appreciate everybody listening. Again, hop on iTunes, rate, review, and we'll read those from time to time when we remember on the pod. Feel free to hit us up on Twitter. Feel free to hit us up in the comment sections, et cetera, et cetera. And you can find me on Twitter at So Says Jay and Paul.
At Dervish of Whirl.
And the pod is at FanTheFlamesNBA. And for the record, for those of you out there listening who also listen to Solar Panel, Paul on the episode last week said that he got his Twitter handle from something his son did. I just want to clarify and state the truth about that. He 100% stole his Twitter handle from my fantasy football team name
that
about you had 4 years
up
ago.
2 years before.
Right, but you still have to give me credit from where you got the idea. Come on, man. So,
Whirling Dervish isn't a thing that just exists out
Dervish
there.
Dervish of Whirl is completely different.
No, oh, I'm wait, saying
that's your, I got you. No, I know what you're saying. I understand that it exists out there, but it's a little too coincidental that that was my fantasy football team name and suddenly it becomes your Twitter handle.
Okay. Okay. Right?
I'm just all I'm saying. All right, that's all I'm saying. All right. So, again, thank you very much for listening. And depending on when you're listening, have yourself a good morning, good afternoon, or good evening.
I got nothing.
Wow. Take care, folks.
Adios.